It's not morning. It's evening. It's morning right now. I'm going to have to get used to that. Okay. Well, good evening. We're filming this in the morning. So if you've been watching our podcast, this is new. And number one, we're in the living room, right? Don't look so nervous, man. You calm down.
I'm fine.
But we're in the living room, and we're doing something new. So instead of us talking about bombs and burritos and stuff like that, we're actually going to be getting people in here. And it's people that you guys know. And just, again, talking about stuff that you guys experience every day. And so, again, we're filming this in the morning. You're watching it in the evening. And that's okay. That's just kind of how we're going to do things. But we're really excited about where the podcast is going. I was just telling Alejandro earlier, we're going to be able to come to your guys' sporting events and interview you guys after games and matches and stuff like that, or productions if you guys are in a play or whatever it may be. So we're really excited about where this podcast is headed, kind of where it's morphed. We still have Manny back there behind the camera with his really weird microphone. It looks like it's from Star Wars. But Manny, how are you? Are you holding it together lately? Yeah.
Yeah? Everything's going pretty good.
I can't see your face, so
by stand
there
up
it is. And now I can see your eyes. Yeah, that's better. I like, we gotta look into your eyes. You know, I'm just kidding. But yeah, so we've got Alejandro on here. So if you don't know, we'll get to introductions and stuff, but Alejandro, he's a former student. And he's living the high life now, as a premier academic, and he decided to come back and visit all of us lowly, I think when you go to Stanford, you just kind of view everybody as a community college graduate, mm-hmm. Like you're just kind of like, oh,
came out of BBC.
It's really cute. But you're up there, so we're gonna do some small talk because we like food, and I realized how often our small talk includes food. So up there in Palo Alto, mm-hmm. Best food stops that you've discovered so far. It doesn't have to be food. It could be, oh man, there's a killer ice cream spot.
Oh.
So yeah. Like what is that place for you right now?
Okay, so we'll start with the ice cream spot. There's a really good place called Salt and Straw. Everyone loves it. Everyone. I haven't heard a single person who's not like, okay, it sucks.
Salt and Straw. And Straw, not Sultan. Mm-hmm.
But for food, I love all things like barbecue, especially like Korean barbecue, Japanese barbecue, anything that's all you can eat. And it's not one that I went into.
You do know that they didn't invent barbecue, right?
I know, but okay. It's better there.
Well, okay. People in Texas would highly disagree, but that's all right.
My personal
Which matters a lot. Okay.
Which matters a lot. Because I go to Stanford.
Okay, yeah, whatever, okay? Because I go to Stanford. Okay, what is it?
I didn't go to it in Palo Alto, though. It's called Yukaku.
It does not sound appealing.
No, it's so good. All.
It's
for the memories and the great food.
Memories.
There's okay. So many good memories.
Go ahead.
From that place. Oh.
Can you talk about them?
I can talk about the memories.
You can. That's good news.
So I went
That's
with
always good. If it's a memory, it's safe to talk about. That's good.
I went with two of my friends, and we accidentally ordered a little too much. And the rule, like, you know how it is, if you order too much, you got to pay for what you leave. So we just started, like, burning the food. It's like we didn't have to eat it and, like, hiding it in random areas.
Burning it?
Yeah. So like there was a moment where they came and like turned off our grill. We thought like, oh, they're gonna kick us out. But they just turned it back on for us and we just kept like burning the food.
Yeah, I don't have that. I don't normally have that problem. Like if I go get barbecue, it's pretty much just gonna be all gone.
Oh yeah.
And I lived where the barbecue's actually good. Like I lived in Texas, I lived in Texas No, we actually, on the way back from Engage, so we just got back from a mission trip in San Diego. Shout out to Brian and Amy Jones at the Hills Community Church. But we just went to Phil's Barbecue on the way home. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. Not as good as Texas. But there was a guy wearing a TCU shirt in there.
Did you say hi?
I did. I actually walked up to him and I said hi. You know, it's rare to find a fellow Horned Frog fan out in the world, which, by the way, speaking of Stanford, I'm excited to go watch TCU beat. If they lose, I'm never going to talk to you again. I just hope
That's
you know
fair.
That. Like if TCU actually loses to Stanford,
which I
just,
don't think they will.
I, well, They've disappointed me in the past. So like if they lose to Stanford, it's been nice knowing you. You know, I don't think I'd be able to look at your face ever again, because I don't think you would always just talk about that, and I couldn't do it. So it's been good. So for all of you Horned Frogs out there, please win. And that's the game. That's a season opener too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if I sit in the student section, I'm going to be one purple dot in a sea of red. Can you explain something to me?
Sure.
Is your mascot actually a tree?
It is actually a tree. Yeah.
A tree.
I'm not sure why.
But you're the Cardinals.
Yeah, cardinal tree.
That's a tree species?
Supposedly, allegedly.
Apparently. They're the trees.
Mm-hmm. We are the trees.
We are the trees. Is that your chant? We are the trees.
No, it's just go Stanford.
It's just go Stanford.
And go Cardinal. Yeah. Such okay. Fire chants.
At which people give me a hard time being a TCU fan because it's the Horned Frogs.
Mm-hmm. No, but we're just the trees.
It's the trees.
Yeah.
The fighting trees.
No fighting, just trees.
Go Stanford.
Oh, it actually is a tree.
It is. Yes. Yeah. And it's on all their stuff. It's in the S, right?
Yes.
It's in the. Why? Do you know why it's a tree?
I don't know why. I wish we had a better mascot.
But you go there.
True. I do go there. But I do not know. I do not know about their mascot.
Hang on. I got to see. Cardinal tree? Cardinal. We have laptops now on our podcast so we can look things up, which is. Oh, it is.
That is
it's actually
a tree.
Hold on a minute. You actually have a tree, a guy dressed as a tree?
Yeah. And then
are you kidding me?
They like dance like.
Manny, if you get a second, we gotta put that picture up.
Oh, I already did.
Oh, you did? I already did. What?
Literally,
that is insane. I was just, what? And he's wearing a hat. The tree it is the fighting trees.
It doesn't even look like a good tree.
It doesn't. It looks like someone just threw some construction paper on a.
To decorate it.
It looks like a really bad VeggieTales costume. I'm not insulting your school, but but I am making fun of it. Dang. Okay, so
you'll see it in action.
Somebody posted this is a former tree. A former previous tree here. Wow. Okay. So there are it's a badge of honor to be a previous tree mascot. I thought for sure and that's one of the questions I really wanted to ask you today. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure it was like, no, the tree is symbolic. We're actually the Cardinals, like a bird, because you're red, but it's a tree.
It's a tree.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should plant a cardinal tree in your memory. Can we
memory?
Yeah. Well, you're not dying, but wow, it's actually a tree. This has to be one of my favorite things. Okay, we need to move on from that. That's incredible. So the fighting trees. Go trees.
Go trees.
Save the trees. And it's Northern California.
Yes.
It is. Closest to what city?
Like the big city, San Francisco. It's like 20, 30 minutes away.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. So you're up there by this. That's, you know what that's called, right? It's not San Fran. It's not Frisco. No, you'll get in trouble. They'll fight you. No, it's the city.
Oh, the city.
Yeah. So my sister-in-law is from Northern California, and if you call it San Fran, she's from Vacaville, which is not far from.
Yeah.
But if you call it San Fran or Frisco or whatever, they get upset. It's the city.
Really?
Yeah. So just be careful out there.
I'll be careful.
Yeah. Watch out. Watch your step. To it as the city. Yeah. But if you just Google the city, it's not going to have San Francisco.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're very upset. It's the city. Yeah, they're very protective. Very protective. They're very protective of their tree. That's amazing. So if I get to go to that game, I have to get a picture with the tree.
Okay, but I can make that happen.
Yeah, you can?
I can.
Wow, it says a lot. I wear the tree costume? I want one. Christmas.
I don't think I can make that one happen.
Christmas this year, I'm going to be a tree. Halloween, I'm going to be the Stanford Cardinal tree.
Okay.
That's going to be my Halloween costume. I feel like that's the kid that, like, when he was in kindergarten, he was in the kindergarten play, and he was cast as the tree, you know?
Yeah.
And then he went to college, and he's like, oh, man. I've been preparing for this my whole life. Mm-hmm. I've been a tree, but I've never gotten to run around. fighting trees.
When they dance, they like just do a bunch of spins.
Well, what else is a tree gonna do?
I don't know, like,
yeah, have you ever seen a tree jump up and down?
That tree, yeah.
I guess he has multiple faces too. I was saying that he has different. He's happy and mad and, you know, all the emotions that you would consider. He does need braces, though, I will say. He kind of has some buck teeth, but okay, well.
SpongeBob.
Yeah, he does have a SpongeBob face. you can see the person in the, that's embarrassing. Okay, you can actually see the guy's face.
Oh, yeah.
Back there, that's like mesh. Okay, all right. Well, anyway. Welcome. Welcome home.
Thank you.
From Stanford. Yeah, so this is Alejandro, one of the premier Ultimate Frisbee players, mm-hmm. champion. Not defending, because you're old now. But former future Hall of Fame Ultimate Frisbee Fuge champion.
Mm-hmm.
name will forever be ingrained on our youth room wall. So tell us about yourself. So like your connection to we'll just go through that. I know you look nervous because your hands are folded like you're praying. So so tell us like what's your connection to the church? Like how did you end up here?
Well, I started coming here since I was very young. I think I was in first grade when I first started coming here. But then after a while, I kind of just like, well, actually my big connection was with his brother, with David and Miss Rosa. Like we used to hang out all the time outside of church and they were like closest friends. But then after a while, like we, with soccer and stuff, we kind of like just stopped coming to church. We focused more on, you know, just athletics. But then after COVID, you know, I kind of saw myself drifting away. But then it was at peak when I got to, you know, just,
which is our fall retreat, by the way, just, you know,
I got to reconnect with God. And it was a moment where I could genuinely say where I became a Christian at peak. And from there, I just tried to stay as plugged in with the church, try to hang out as much as possible. And just,
well, and you and your brother were baptized.
Yes, here. Baptized together. Yeah.
I just saw that picture the other day. So that's good. That's awesome. So when did you graduate?
I graduated 2023.
Valedictorian, right?
Valedictorian, yeah. Wow. A year ago.
That's why he's at Stanford. Yeah, I graduated 2023, which is sad because, like, I don't feel like I really got to know you until your senior year, mm-hmm. which is kind of a bummer. Like, I almost wanted you to fail miserably so that way you can just get held back. But yeah, you graduated just last year.
Yes.
So what you're hearing from is a very recent student involved in the student ministry, and you were heavily involved. You did pretty much everything that we did. I mean. Mm-hmm. Peak, and we got a picture of Peak right behind us there. And Engage, you went to the very first Engage. You went to Colorado with us. And shout out to any Grandview Inns who are listening, because they do sometimes. I don't know if you know. We have people in Colorado. Anyways, that's how big our footprint is. It's a pretty big foot.
Yeah.
Anyway, they also have trees in Colorado. Yeah. But and then Fuge, how many years did you go to Fuge?
That was my only year.
Just one.
What?
Man, that stinks. All right, so then you're gonna have to come back when you're 20 and be a youth leader for us.
I will.
Right? Well, we'll see. You have to apply, but
would you not accept me? You have to think.
Depends on how the game turns out. If TCU wins, yeah, we'll get you. Because again, like, I'm not a gen, like, I can't talk to you ever again. Maybe even your whole family.
If Stanford wins, or just reject my application.
If Stanford wins, I think I gotta move. You know, like, I need to go away. If Stanford loses, that's a season opener.
Yeah.
You know, it's a Power 5 game. I know you probably don't know what any of that means.
No, I don't.
Because you go to Stanford, but. Stanford, not known for their athletics, but they're known for their brains. But they do have a pretty good baseball program.
They do.
Yeah. Basketball?
No. Basketball is no.
He says no. Man,
it's
shot it
San
down.
San Francisco, come on.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah, uh-huh. You're the basketball person.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is the basketball person in California? UCLA?
Like leading?
Yeah. Like the best basketball school in California. Would that be UCLA?
Yeah, I would say UCLA.
Okay. All right. Nobody really cares about basketball, but
Bruin.
Yeah, but they're a bear.
They are.
Yeah,
you're a tree.
That's a lot cooler than a tree.
Bears versus trees. Bears sometimes scratch their back on trees.
We'd help them out.
You're there for each other. It's a symbiotic relationship. So let me ask you a question. When it comes to the metropolis that is the high desert, or our church or whatever, like, what are some things that you miss? So, like, you've been gone.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get home?
I got back just literally a few days ago, Saturday.
A few days ago, yeah. Okay. So what did you miss? Like, when you were gone, he's like, nothing at all. But, like, what did you miss?
One thing I was getting tired, it's going to sound really weird, but I was tired of seeing so much green. Like, I missed my dirt so much.
Like, there you have it, folks. You will miss the dirt.
You will miss the dirt and the heat. Like, I miss the heat, too.
Okay. It's cold up there?
It's not cold. Like, it gets hot, too, but it's just, like, I don't know, just, like, something about the heat here feels so nice.
Okay.
It's dry. It's not humid.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's our big selling item. No, that's how we get people to move here. Just kidding. Okay, so you miss the dirt and the heat.
And the heat.
Interesting. We're doing well so far. What else?
And just the people. Like, I miss my friends from, like, school. I miss the people here, my family. It was just so nice being able to see everything.
Yeah, he's about to go and play a real sport with his buddies and going to go play some tennis. Not pickleball, just for pickleball. Throwing. No, it's not.
I actually took a pickleball class.
Okay. I'm not a pickleball fan.
It was a lot of fun.
All tennis players can play pickleball, but not all pickleball players can play tennis. But anyways.
I think anybody could play tennis.
Oh, really? Okay. That's a challenge. We'll meet you on the court. Anyway. Okay. So you like food-wise here.
Food-wise.
What do you miss?
Tacos.
That's got to be racist.
we'll edit that out. No, I'm just kidding. Well, I'm just kidding.
What did I miss? I don't know. Just my mom's cooking is always great.
Mm. I've never had it.
You should. Well, you.
I've had your dad's.
You had my dad's. Yeah, not my mom's.
Oh man.
Yeah. I don't know, actually. I haven't really gone out to eat. Or Organic Tea House. I've been craving Organic Tea House. Manny knows.
Says the tree man. Okay.
Manny knows.
All right.
Have you been there?
I drink coffee. I'm American.
Oh, but it's not. It's like a food place.
But I drink coffee.
You can get, like, boba tea.
You know what a tea house is? It's British. We won that war. But anyways.
That war.
We throw all that in the harbor. But, okay, all right. So you miss your British tea house, Mr. Tree Man.
Mm-hmm.
Doing great. All right. And then what are you doing now? So up there at tree school, what are you majoring in?
Huh.
What is this? So tell them what the school is.
Oh, well, I go to Stanford University.
Okay.
It's a pretty well-known school, I guess.
Little old Stanford.
Uh-huh. I'm planning on majoring in mechanical engineering.
So what is your major right now?
It is mechanical engineering, but I don't have to declare my major until the end of my sophomore year.
So do you, like, is there, like, a mountain that you go to and you declare it?
I guess I just kind of, like, talk to someone and be like, okay, I'm going to declare this.
Yeah. But like Michael Scott declaring bankruptcy. I declare my major. Okay, cool. Mechanical engineering to do what?
I want to work in defense, so, like, Lockheed Martin. I want to make jets for, like, the military.
Which you do fly.
I do fly.
You have a pilot's license.
I do, yes.
Which you got, little known fact, before you even graduated high school.
Yeah,
right?
I got it the summer before my senior year.
Yeah, so all of you listening, what are you doing? Just kidding. I'm really good at Fortnite. Well, you could be getting a pilot's license. Yeah, because he might be able to get you out of a bind. You know, I've seen movies where they're like, oh, look at that plane that's unattended and unlocked. Let's steal it. You know, that happens a lot in movies. Okay, cool. Yeah, so you're going to Stanford. So what led you to Stanford? Like, why that school? So if you don't know, Ivy League schools, that's, like, very, very well known for academics, centuries old. They're on the East Coast. But Stanford would kind of be the standard, right? The Ivy League of the West Coast. Am I wrong?
No, that's true.
Yeah, so very difficult to get into. Mm-hmm. But what led you to that school specifically?
Well, I knew I wanted to stay in state, so I wanted to go to a school in California, but I didn't. I just, like, I remember one day in seventh grade, I just kind of just started looking up, like, best school in California, and then Stanford popped up, and then my dad was like, you should, like, try and get in there. And then so ever since seventh grade, it's kind of like my dream to go to Stanford. But I wasn't, like, I wouldn't say, like, I try-harded, like, all of, like, high school. Like, my try-harding began, like, junior year, and I just
kind of try-harding.
Yeah.
Coming to you live from Stanford.
Good. Try-harding.
Try-harding.
Tryharding.
Yeah, you should be tryharding. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you said not until senior year.
It's junior year.
Junior year. Okay.
So like I was just kind of like just taking all the classes I needed to take. Wasn't really like trying to like be number one or like, you know, I was just trying to just like go with the flow. And then junior year, the very beginning of junior year, I was like, I got my transcript back and I was like number one, like in the class. So I was like, okay, maybe I can like continue with this. So it was like, okay, like maybe like Stanford could like actually like possible. That was when I kind of just like started like taking more classes, trying to be more involved with like school, like extracurriculars, like other clubs, you know, just trying to like get as much experience as possible.
Yeah. That's really, really cool. Yeah. Well, no. And I think it goes to show you, you know, some people, and maybe you've met some people like this, that their whole life is just dedicated to trying to get to one of those schools. It really does. I mean, academics consumes people just as much as athletics, sometimes maybe even more. It's an honor to know someone, that's able, cause was it difficult to get into? Is Stanford a difficult school to get into?
It was very hard. I don't think like the junior and senior year, like I had any free time to myself. It was all basically just school and like other like extracurriculars I was involved in. It really was just like trying to like stay committed and trying to like get it done.
Yeah. So what was like the required, like what are their standards to get in? What are their Stanfords?
Well, I mean, like the standards are very high. I mean, like I've met people who like cured a disease.
Wow.
Yeah. Like they'd go to like international like research competitions and like win like first place. And like I know like my neighbor actually, he won the gold medal in like international math Olympiad 2 years in like 2 years. So wow. like you meet some crazy people there and like I thought I was like, okay, well at least I'm a pilot, right? I'm gonna like be the coolest pilot there. But like someone in my dorm actually, like he has the record for the youngest person to fly around the world. Like I'm not even
what the heck? I'm not even the coolest pilot at Stanford. You should write that quote down. Alejandro Aguirre. I'm not the coolest pilot at the tree school.
Yeah. But like, yeah.
Got it.
Like even like with like academics, like a 1500 on the SAT would be considered like great, like anywhere, but like at Stanford that's kind of like below average.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, the standards are very high.
Yeah, no, and again, like that creates pressure, you know. And I mean, we're in the culture of comparison, if you would, you know, we compare ourselves to a lot of things. And so you know, I mean, even for you, you even said I'm not the coolest pilot at Stanford.
Yeah.
I mean, we're sitting in a room with a former valedictorian who had his pilot's license before he graduated. What was your SAT score?
1370.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. But you know, like was able to get into Stanford going to build jets. And yet you think that you're not, you know, that just, again, like that just attributes to the level, of people that are there. And again, like you had to, like you said, like you had to surrender a lot in order to get there. I mean, we see that with athletics and things like that. Yeah. And I mean, do you surrender a lot while you're there? Like, have you had to kind of give up on the typical college life in order to succeed at Stanford?
Well, I wouldn't say I had to give up like everything. Like, I'm still able to like hang out with friends, go out, but it's definitely like, even when I go out, there's like that pressure on me, like, well, I could be like working right now.
Yeah.
Like it feels like I'm wasting time. Times when I'm friends just trying to have fun.
Yeah.
So like that pressure is always there. Yeah.
So how do you deal with that pressure?
I just kind of just like, this mentality started like last quarter, just kind of like, no matter what, like the work's going to get done. So like, even if I have to stay up, like it doesn't matter. The work's going to get done anyway. Just going to like enjoy the moment, you know?
Okay.
Because like, especially like, because the fun moments happen like maybe like twice every quarter. Mm-hmm. And then you just gotta like, and if I'm like just trying to like, just like get through the fun moment to get back to work, that's not like the right way to live. Like, it just like adds more stress. Just kind of like choosing to live in the moment and just as much fun as possible, even if it's just doing work.
Well, and the work is important, you know?
Yeah.
And at it, like we've got a couple of students that we're gonna try and push through to do better in their final years in high school as they've struggled. But I love that you mentioned that. So you actually said something like being in the moment. So why would you, I mean, again, like extremely smart, very academic, very successful already at 19. I'm already successful at 19 years old. Why would you say that balance of living in the moment and still taking those times to enjoy the experience instead of just overly committing? Like, why is that important?
Because I just feel like, especially like my junior and senior year, like I feel like I definitely felt like very depressed, like a bunch of anxiety. And it wasn't until like very end of senior year where I was like, okay, well, I gotta like try to have some fun.
Yeah.
That it wasn't until like that kind of like that pressure just kind of faded away. Like, if you're just trying to like do all the work, do all this and that to get to like some like big school, like, don't get me, like, it's nice being at Stanford, but like having all that depression and anxiety, like, on top of that, is, it's not good. It's going to make being at Stanford not worth it, right? So just trying to have fun, even in the little things, like, will make that experience worth it. It won't make it feel like just some job, you know?
Yeah. No, and it's interesting because, you know, just on Sunday we were talking about, we're going through the manly qualities and all that kind of stuff with the guys. And honestly, the manly quality we talked about on Sunday was humor.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't think of humor being biblical, but there's plenty of verses where the Bible talks about rejoice, like, you know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, and today is the day that the Lord has made. You know, again, that's a verse about living in the moment. Like, today is the day that the Lord's made. Your mercies are new every day. So I love that you mentioned that because, you know, maybe we've got kids feeling some pressure right now, some students feeling some pressure, especially seniors or people going into their senior year, or maybe people in danger of getting held back or whatever. That could be a lot of pressure. So I appreciate you speaking into that. And even on the athletic, I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned that because I've heard that from athletes, that literally they missed out on so many things because of club ball and like club sports, school sports, like, again, just trying to get that athletic scholarship,
yeah,
especially in this world of college athletes getting paid, you know, which is just, I guess, good. You know, if you're going to put their face on TV, you got to pay them for that. But so much pressure, and kids putting a lot of pressure on themselves. So it applies just as much to academics. So so let's talk about your faith, because I remember having a conversation with you maybe at camp,
yeah,
which is less than three weeks from now. By the way, we'll be heading up to camp. But when you think of your faith, I remember talking to you and talking to the seniors last year of, maybe you've thought about what school you're going to go to, but have you thought about what church you're going to attend, and not just attend, but where are you going to serve? And you kind of spoke to this a little bit before the podcast, but what immediately, like, what were some challenges to your faith as you go to such a, I mean, highly academic culture?
Yeah. Being over there was the first time where I feel like I was attacked. I wouldn't say attacked because it wasn't that extreme, but like definitely, like, there's been moments where like people have made fun of me for being a Christian. Like, oh, this kid doesn't believe in science, right? Or like, you know, just like one time someone asked me if like me and like God speak directly, if like I can ask him for like to like give him money or something. And it's like even though it's like I'm not like being like hit physically, right? Like, it's still like there's some people fun of you, and that's normal, I guess, like going to a very secular school and like where everyone's like so, like where everyone's worldview is based on science, right? So and there have been some moments, especially with my friends, where they'll ask me difficult questions and then it's just the answer.
Yeah,
because like at the end of the day, like I don't have all the answers to everything. Like, there's this verse I like, 1 Corinthians 13:12, right now you know but a reflection, that you'll know in full. Like, right now, I don't know all the answers, but I can do my best to answer their questions.
Yeah.
I've just been trying to, you know, be in the Word constantly. Talk to the pastor up there, try and see, like, how can I better answer people's questions?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I mean, not a lot, but I know that you've, oh, there you go, yeah.
Like this?
There you go. No, but like, I mean, I've gotten a few texts from you, but yeah, I mean, it's just having the connection, because you're always going to get asked questions. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, you have to realize too that sometimes people are going to ask you impossible questions, like, can God create a rock so heavy that he can't lift it? You know, just like, what's the point of, like, that doesn't disprove my faith. That just proves that you're asking circular questions. But I'm very glad that you mentioned your church. So why is being connected to, so what church would you say, like, what church would you call your your home church up there? Your home away from home.
Well, I wouldn't call like any of the churches I go to their home. I would call like the group I'm a part of.
Okay.
My church home. It's called Chi Alpha. It's like a nationwide organization in a bunch of universities.
Yeah.
And we have one there at Stanford. And I made like my closest friend, like my best friend at Stanford's name's Colin. Like I met him through there. He'd be my roommate next year.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. So like it's just been like just so many great people there, and I'm able to talk to some, learn a lot.
So why has that been important? Let's just entertain the idea. Like if you did not have that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. If I didn't have that, I don't think I'd be going to church. I think I would have like definitely like strayed away from God. My faith just wouldn't be as important as it is like right now. Like I feel like being part of that group has made my faith stronger, like way stronger than it was my senior year.
I see how it is. No, I'm just kidding. So the next gen is not good enough for Stanford tree people. I'm just kidding. No, I'm personally so glad you have that. Because again, you know, whether it's Campus Crusade or whatever it may be, I'm grateful that there are organizations that are like that, because I mean, especially in California where politically it's very opinionated and mm-hmm. things like that. Having that connection is very, very important. And because I've mentioned this before, but you've experienced, like, talk me through Sunday morning when your alarm goes off and your mom's not telling you to get up and get ready for church. Has that been a challenge?
Some days it's very hard. Very hard.
And is it because of, like, what's that? Why?
Well, most of the time, like, I'm able to get up, but there's just some days where, like, I'll spend Saturday night just, like, doing a bunch of work, and I'll go to sleep at, like, 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., and, like, having to wake up at, like, 8 a.m. to go to church, like, running off 4 hours of sleep, it just doesn't feel like the right choice to make. So sometimes I'll just, like, turn off the alarm to sleep.
You sinner. I went to a Christian school. Like I grew up in a Christian school. I went to Cal Baptist, and man, I struggled with that. You know, I can tell you confidently that when I was in at Cal Baptist, for those 2 years that I was at Cal Baptist, I didn't have a home church in Riverside, you know. And I think I just used the guise of, oh, I'm at a Christian school, so that's like church every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to chapel. But I really struggled in my faith those 2 years. Really struggled in my faith those 2 years. And even though it was at a Christian school, you know, you would assume that all people. I was just talking to Seth O'Neill, and you know, when you first go to a Christian school, you think, oh, everybody's Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, that's not true. You know, some, especially athletes and people that get scholarships, they'll go where they're gonna, you know, get money for school. That's a reality. So you talked about like the pressure on your faith. So how difficult is it to manage that pressure from, like, again, just, you mentioned being in a room of highly academic people, mm-hmm. right? And I mean, like in the company of, I mean, people like traveling the world on a plane, you know, and setting records and all those kinds of things, winning gold medals and things like that, mm-hmm. to where you almost feel like your valedictorian pilot's license is small. Like that's incredible to think of. But what it is, like, talk me through like how you manage the pressure on your faith from those people, but then also like your viewpoint in terms of seeing those people as lost.
Yeah. Like all of my friends, except for like two of them at Stanford, are not Christian. Right. So it's hard to like look at them and know, like, you know, like from what I believe, like they're not, I'm not going to see them in heaven. Right. Mm. But it's also difficult to like try and like, you know, like talk to them about my faith, because I don't want to be like that person who like shoves my faith in their face so much so that it pushes them away. Right. So like the one thing I try to do is just let all my friends know that I'm Christian, try to be that light in their lives. And like trying to like live that out to the best of my ability. So if one day like they have a question, and I've had conversations with like all of my friends about my faith. Like if one day they have that question, they feel like they can come talk to me and ask me questions. And I feel like that's been like the best way to go about it, especially there. Because given that everyone's so like academically focused, so scientifically focused, it's hard to like try and be like, because like telling them that God is real, and if they truly want to believe that, would like shift their entire worldview. Like it would like change. Like one of my friends told me, like it would change the way I think about everything. Yeah. Like it just wouldn't work. Like based on like what I've believed my whole life. So like, I don't know. Just like trying like my best to just be that light in people's lives is is really the best I can do, I think.
Yeah. Well, and that's 1 Peter 3:15, you know. You know, living your life in such a way that that begs people to ask for a defense of the hope that you have, you know.
Yes.
And again, like living that out, I think is important. And I mean, because there could be, is there pressure to just blend in?
Oh yeah, a bunch. Like it would be so easy for me to just not be a Christian anymore. Yeah. Like Stanford is set up for me to just like throw away my faith basically.
Sure.
But like, it's just knowing, like keeping my faith central and like sticking to that no matter what is definitely a challenge. But like if I believe it so strongly, like nothing that like no question they could ask me would like sure. throw me away from it.
No, and that's, I mean, we've talked about that here. I mean, even when we do the box, mm-hmm. you know, just because I don't know the answer doesn't mean it's not there,
yeah.
you know, and you really have to believe that it is absolute truth. And that means that even if you don't know the answer, that shouldn't create doubt.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, that should create a hunger to learn more. And, mm-hmm. and again, if it's an attribute of God, which is what people are going to question most, right? And maybe you've seen this, but like, how can somebody be eternal?
Yeah.
Right? How can somebody not be created? They don't have a beginning. They don't have an end, right? When you talk about God, the Bible talks about mysteries that we can't explain. And for us, when there's something that we can't explain, your culture, your generation is like, well, that's grounds for questioning it in terms of how valid it is, right? But in reality, we've said this in our youth group, that if you can explain God, he ceases to be God, right? And so in reality, that should give you confidence. Like if you cannot, I can't even fathom this attribute of God, you know, unfortunately, we live in a generation that wants explanations for everything. Everything needs to be logical. But it should be, and that's something that you've really got to be. I mean, how important is it to be sure of your faith before you graduate high school?
It's like the most important thing,
yeah.
Because if you could call yourself a Christian, and then you get thrown into a secular environment, and if it's not like the main part of you, like you're gonna get thrown off. So,
yeah,
especially at a school like Stanford, it'd be so easy for someone to like ask you a question. Like you start doubting your faith and then you just start like falling away.
Yeah. No. And again, like, man, especially if you're getting close to graduating, don't just look for your school.
Mm-hmm.
Like as you look for your school, look for a church,
yeah.
like what church, and not just where are you going to go? Like, and even for you, as you go back, like where are you going to serve? Like, how are you mm-hmm. going to serve the church? Because again, like the more you serve, the more likely you are to go. Cause then when that alarm goes off at 8 a.m., if all you're doing is attending, you're like, nah, I can miss this
yeah.
week. But if they're expecting you to help with the kids ministry because you're on schedule, like, again, it's just something that, number one, is biblical, but number two, holds you accountable to be there because you've got people counting on you. And in reality, the Christian life is a life lived because people are counting on you. The lost people are counting on you to deliver truth and hope, whether they ask for it or not. You're on summer break, right? And all those non-Christian friends, maybe you share this podcast with them and they hear. And then you come back to school and maybe one of them experienced loss or a tragedy or an accident during summer break. And they know that you're the Christian person, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, can you pray for me? Like, I don't think God wants to hear about me, but will you pray for me? Like those things, I love the fact that you said that, well, I just make sure they know that I am their Christian friend. I love that because they need to know. Like, and it doesn't have to be you badgering and arguing.
Mm-hmm.
But when they know that you are there for them, that you're willing to have those conversations with them and answer the tough questions and stay true to who you are, it shows a world that believes Christians are hypocrites that's not true, right? And so, man, that's really... So let me ask you this as we're getting kind of close to our time here. And again, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Especially being... What time did you get here?
Like 8:30.
Like 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
This morning, and then we kind of sat around. We didn't sit around, but we were getting set up. I mean, Bo was in here early this morning getting stuff set up. And again, like this is new, right? We're trying some. So thank you so much for just being our first guest on the podcast. I already am excited for people to hear this because it's just, again, like you can't argue with people's stories. So thank
yeah.
you for being willing to share your story. And I look forward to maybe having you back on here again when you win a gold medal for traveling the world with math or something. I don't remember what it was, but I wasn't a tree. So, let me ask you this, whether they're going to an Ivy League school, or Because here's the other side too. Some people might listen to this podcast and think, dang, like, I'm not that. Like, all I can really muster up is VVC, right? Or I can't, you know, I can't afford to go to Stanford, you know, or I'm not smart enough to go to Stanford. As people are evaluating their life, whether it's academics or athletics, thinking back to when you were in high school, thinking back to when you were coming up in the world, because I've had a lot of great conversations with your brother, Ernie, you know, and what he's pursuing right now, which I don't know if you know this, but with Engage, did you see the Engage video? Man, the man straight up found a spot to cut people's hair. Like, I just, the fact that there were this group of teenagers cutting people's hair outside, and Ernie just so happened to see them and get to just talk to him about Jesus. Like, I love that. Like, that was so cool. But what advice would you give to someone that's going to be graduating, whether they are about to step into an Ivy League situation or they feel like they're comparing themselves to you right now? Like, what advice would you give to someone?
Yeah. First, like, it doesn't matter where you go. You can do great things no matter what school you go to, no matter where you end up, even if you decide not to go to school. You can definitely make it. You just got to stay committed and dedicated to whatever it is you want to do. But like, first and foremost, none of that's going to be possible if you don't have God first. If your faith isn't central to you, it's just going to make everything so much harder. It's going to be easier to fall away. It's going to be easier to feel like no one's there supporting you, like no one's there for you. And just trying to keep your faith central and trying to keep God first in everything you do is going to make your life so much easier. It's going to take away all the stress, all the anxiety that you feel. It's just going to make for like a happier life and an easier life in whatever path you choose to pursue. And yeah, just like I said at the beginning, just like, have fun with everything you do. Not everything has to feel like a job. Not everything has to feel like you have to like get it done. But like, even if you do have to get it done, have fun while doing it and just try to like enjoy every moment that you have. And cause like, you never know, maybe you don't wake up tomorrow and you like live life regretting like, oh, maybe like I could have done this or like could have done that. But just have fun with everything you do, and you don't have any regrets, really.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and there's no just so happens, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you are at Stanford for a reason, you know. The Esther situation of it, for such a time as this, right? Not everybody is gifted academically to be able to be in that room, right? But you get to be in that room, and so I guess our encouragement to you would be, realize how hard it is to be in the room where you are, right? Like, Esther knew that very few Jewish people were going to be able to be in the room with the king and actually have his ear to give concerns to, right? And Mordecai says, like, look, like, God will lift up a redeemer from anywhere, but you're in this room right now for this reason. And we know, like, not everybody, I mean, even I didn't have the academic qualifications to maybe go to Stanford, but you do, right? You're in that room and you see how much lostness there is. But maybe you don't. Maybe you don't have the qualifications to be in that room, but God's going to send you somewhere, whether it's straight into the military or straight into the workforce or VVC or wherever it is, but you're in that room for a reason. And there's no coincidence or happenstance. I mean, look at the variety of men that were in Jesus's inner circle.
Yeah.
A lot of them were ordinary, uneducated men. And God used them to bring so many to faith. So just as you enjoy the summer, right? I'm so glad you're home, and that we get to have you here as you've been away. I know, like, there's been so many students that are just pumped that you're here, that you're back. Because again, you had an impact in the short time that you were here. You made an impact on a lot of lives, and just remember, like, as you go, keep taking steps forward. Like, ask yourself, all right, which church is going to be my home, and where can I serve that church with open hands? Like, hey, not just, hey, I want to do this, but what do you need, and how can I fill that need? And, but then as you step back, realizing that you're in, you get to be in a very exclusive room, very exclusive club. And if you're listening to this podcast, like, if you've ever done anything that is rare, realize that God is putting you in that room with very, very few other people that he's allowing that to happen to. And, you know, maybe you're a premier athlete, maybe you're an academic, like Alejandro, maybe, you're into robotics or heck, maybe you're just super legit at video games and you get to play in some premier, you know, video game competitions. Like you, when you get to be in an exclusive club and you're one of the only people in that club that knows Jesus, don't waste that. Like, mm-hmm. don't, you know, I mean, this is a testament to like, just don't waste that opportunity. Especially because it's short. I mean, you're going to be there for, you said 5 years, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Because he gets to do his master's through that too. But, oh man. And then as you step into another career field that has an even smaller, like a legit rocket scientist, an even smaller group of people realize that, okay, dang, like not only am I a premier, like that's prime time for you to be like, look at me.
Yeah.
I'm legit, you know, I'm super smart. Very few people can even understand what I do. Like, look at the company that I'm in. And God would go, yeah, look at the company that you're in. Like, you're there to make a difference, you know? Like when Joseph was elevated to be second in command of Pharaoh, mm-hmm. God didn't just do that to be like, hey, your life's been hard. Let me just give you a cush situation. Like even Joseph in Genesis 50:20 said, no, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, that many would be saved. And so realize that whatever position you're in, if you're dealing with a lot of huge success like Alejandro and you're looking forward to that, right? Realize that like that God has you there for a reason. And one of my favorite verses that's actually been on my heart as I've gotten to experience more success in my field, the verse that honestly kind of scares the daylights out of me, where it freaks me out, is to much who is to he who is given much will be required. And I think a lot of times when we're given much, whether it's a success or money or a big group of friends or whatever it may be, we don't ask that question, okay, what's God requiring of me? Like we don't view that as a, oh, this is a red alert that God has a requirement for me. And it's a big requirement, right? That he who is given much, much will be required. Those are Jesus's words in Matthew. And so you, as you deal with success, whether it's in academics or athletics or robotics or whatever it may be, when God puts you in a season of success, ask yourself, or ask, really don't ask yourself, ask God, God, what are you requiring of me right now? Right. And same thing when you deal with poverty too, God's requiring something of you in that season. But man, it's easy when we go through comfortable, awesome, successful seasons to go, oh, cool. God's just kind of giving me a season to take a breath because something tough's coming. Like, nope. In all seasons of life, whether good or bad, I mean, Philippians 4, right? Learning the secret to being content in all things, poverty and plenty, it's Jesus and what he would require mm-hmm. for you. So ask yourself, ask God in whatever season of life that you're in, what's being required of you right now. Maybe it is small. Maybe God's like, look, all I need you to do right now is just be present. But then maybe he's requiring you to be the next governor of California or, you know, inventing a cure for some disease like you talked about. Like, God requires something of us because there's people's eternities at stake. So thank you for being faithful to your faith, even though it's tough being there, dealing with success. And yeah, especially as you are here at home, enjoying your friends. Good luck playing tennis.
Thank you.
Good job not inviting me because you all would lose.
We can play some other time.
Yeah, I got you. I'll play with you at the tree school. But yeah, enjoy it. Mm-hmm. But realize that God's letting you. He's bringing you back home mm-hmm. to get you. You know, like you're bringing in the corner of a fighting ring to get re-energized and everything, so you can get back in that fight and know that we always miss you here. So thanks for being on the show. Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And maybe we'll have you again one day. So Manny, thanks for holding down multiple forts.
Love you, Manny.
For us, the man in the chair, the Manny in the chair. Love you, John Drew. Jar Jar. What do you prefer to go by?
It doesn't matter to me. Everyone calls, like, at school, they call me Ale. Like, everyone, when I played soccer, everyone called me Ale. My brothers call me Ale. Everyone except my parents calls me Ale.
I don't.
No, you call me Jar Jar. Yeah. David calls me Jondro.
Jondro. I call you Jar. That was camp, I think. No, or engage. I don't remember.
I don't remember when it was.
Yeah, I don't remember. Well, we're happy to have you home. Looking forward to maybe playing some rugby here soon with you. And again, just connecting with you and enjoy your mug. Thanks for thanks
the
for
beautiful mug.
Put it on the mantle with all of your trophies. that's your trophy for being our first guest.
Yay.
We'll write it on the bottom. First guest on the NG podcast. and for you that's listening, hopefully this finds you well. Hopefully you guys are having a good week. Good summer break. For those of you that are in summer school, stay strong. All right. And do your best in all things, not to please men, but as if you're doing them unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So, or whatever that is, it 10:31. Hold on. I got to find it right. I can't lie. Hold on. things as unto, let's see if I was right.
As unto.
Oh, hold on. Am I? Oh, it's Colossians 3:23-24. I was way off, but hey, do all things to the best of your ability, not as working for man, but as you're working for the Lord. To again, he's most important. All right. So love you, dude. And
you
for all those that are listening, we'll see you guys next week with our next guest on the podcast. And have a great rest of your day. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.